Lord God, we pray that you would open our hearts to hear your guidance in our lives and to help us to know when to say yes and when to say no. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. So I'm going to really be speaking using the first reading, the reading from Peter's letter, and from some of the material that we're going to be using in our Lent course, The Joy of the Gospel. So if you want to have that reading from 1 Peter open, you'll see that it describes us as God's people. So all of us, we are God's people, God's own people. Peter writes that once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is a game changer. Each of us, wherever we've come from, whatever we've done, however unworthy we might feel, we all know God's mercy and saving love at work in our lives, even if it feels, as it probably does to most of us, that there's still a long way to go. We do know God's saving mercy and love at work in our lives. We are adopted into God's family. We are all members of God's family. We belong, God's children, his precious daughters and sons, sisters and brothers of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? If we are God's children, we're effectively sisters and brothers of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What an incredible privilege. Now, when my four sons were young boys, we enjoyed watching quite a lot of films, but we had a particular penchant, if you like, for watching Spider-Man. So I've watched Spider-Man lots of times. Spider-Man was an ordinary boy who was given some amazing abilities. But with that came extraordinary responsibility too. As Spider-Man's uncle wisely says to him in the comic book and in the film, with great power comes great responsibility. I'm sure that's something that probably resonates with many of you. With great power comes great responsibility. And people often ask, who said that phrase first? Some people seem to think it might have been Voltaire, who is a famous philosopher, but apparently people who've combed their way through Voltaire, which personally I haven't, can't find it. It's attributed to all sorts of other famous people. But actually, it's very similar to something that Jesus said at the end of a story he told in Luke's Gospel, where he said this, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We all have this amazing privilege of being God's own people. But we also have the responsibility that goes with that. We know the good news of experiencing God's mercy and saving work in our lives. It's amazing and wonderful news, and it transforms and changes us and everything around us. But we have a responsibility to share that good news. Now, I hasten to say, I don't mean that we do that in a way which is like marketing or selling a commodity. Not in a way which is about an exercise of power from one to the other. And we've seen both those ways at work in the world over the centuries. No, we have a responsibility to share in a way which is about an offer of love, deeply rooted in Christian values and in what it means to know God's mercy, meeting others where they are, showing them the really genuine and deep-rooted care and concern of Christ, caring for each person as the unique person that they are, created and loved by God. It's not about seeing people as targets for conversion, but showing them God's love and mercy. Because that is what it means to share the good news. And as God's own people, we also have a responsibility to be people of discernment. We're called to be people who resist things that lead us away from God and from the good life we have with God, if you like to say no to those things. We're called to be a people which embraces the love of God and the good fruit of the kingdom of God to say yes. But of course, it's never as easy as that, is it? It's not always straightforward knowing what we say yes to and what we say no to. In our culture today, there is a huge, huge pressure to grasp after a lifestyle of plenty, to get used to making sure that, number one, me or maybe my family are okay, regardless of the impact that that has on others. There's a kind of global pressure to look after yourself, to make choices that are about your own comfort with no regard to the needs of others. That leads us away from the call of God. For the call of God is to look outwards, to look out for the other, to look out maybe especially for those who are different from us. Often it doesn't even really feel like we've made a deliberate choice to say yes or no, but we just get caught up looking after ourselves. And that really does make it easy to lose the ability to care deeply about those who don't have any choice and who are left with nothing. It's easy to get to the point where we lose our ability to feel compassion or real depth of concern for the outcry of those in need, to close ourselves off to the suffering in the world. When this happens, it's very easy to get caught up in practicing a faith which is all about our own personal and private experience. We can have some amazing mountaintop highs, some really deep encounters as we sit with God in the privacy of our comfortable homes. But we turn away from the sharing of the good news of God's mercy and saving love to the world. We get separated from the responsibility of what it means to have the privilege of being one of God's children, part of God's own people. And the call of Peter in the passage we had read speaks powerfully into this separation. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're called to be God's own people, not just for our own comfort and for our own sense of love, joy, and peace, although, of course, that is good and important and part of the flourishing and abundant life that Jesus promises each of us. But we're called to be God's own people so we can be sent out to encounter others at their point of need. Now, one of the really important things here is that when God calls and equips us to a task in his church, he gives us all we need to undertake his work with confidence and with joy. And that's one of the reasons it's so important to spend time listening to God and knowing when to say yes and when to say no. We can say yes to doing too many things, and we can end up doing things under our own steam, in our own strength, in our own efforts, not dependent on God, and the result is we get exhausted, worn out, maybe even disillusioned, pessimistic. And that is not what God wants for any of us or for the world. But the other side of that is that we can also be selfish about our own time and unprepared, really, to take seriously the responsibility to reach out to those who are in need, both spiritually and physically, saying no when we should be saying yes. For we are called to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called each of us out of darkness into his marvelous night, to demonstrate the good news joyfully in the world, into a world where there is so much fear and desperation, even among us and in our own communities. where the joy of being alive is often sullied by the lack of respect for others, by violence, by lack of equality. We need to proclaim God's transforming love into a world where there's increasing division, increasing lack of equality, increasing hatred, increasing suspicion. And that is all of our responsibility. So how do we respond to the hatred and division in our world, which leads to a shooter going into a mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand, and opening fire on people of faith who are at prayer in a place of worship? Round the world, Christians and people of every faith have joined their Muslim brothers and sisters at Friday prayers to stand in solidarity with them. Around the world, people have been tweeting messages of solidarity and support with hashtags like We Stand Together and hashtag Christchurch. Just in this parish, I've been in contact with the imam who leads Friday prayers in the prayer space, the multi-faith prayer space, which we're responsible for. And I had a really lovely message back from him too. We cannot distance ourselves from the impact of events such as these across the world. So as God's own people, what are we called to do? How do we respond? How are we to say yes and no to the different things we could do? How are we to say no to some of the things which lead us away from God's love? Things like racism and hatred in the places where we find ourselves. How do we say no and resist those casual comments and jokes which foster prejudice? This applies to us all, young people, in your schools and in your places where you find yourselves, in your families, others of us in workplaces, wherever we find ourselves in our daily business. And at the same time, how do we say yes to the fruit of the kingdom to proclaim God's, the great news of God's love for all his people, to show his marvelous acts in the world? How do we do that? In word and deed, for with great privilege comes great responsibility. And of course, none of us have the power or ability of Spider-Man, which is probably a relief. But we do have the power of the Holy Spirit at working us, showing us where God's leading us, equipping us, inviting us to say no to the things which lead us away from God, and drawing us to the things which lead to the fruit of the kingdom of God. Now, whatever it is you do may feel really small and insignificant in light of world events, but in God's economy, every tiny little act of love and mercy goes some way towards changing the world, and it really is significant. Never think that the prayer that you pray, the little act of kindness that you show, never think that those things aren't life-changing, life-transforming, and impact the world. Some of those who died on Friday in New Zealand were Syrian refugees who had been welcomed to Christchurch in New Zealand. Now, in Greenwich, we have already had five, in the borough of Greenwich, we've had five Syrian families arrive a year or two ago, and we're expecting 15 more families, refugee families from Syria, in the next few months. It's not in the notices yet because I actually got the email too late to get them in the notices this week, but if you want to offer to help, to befriend one of those families, maybe you've got skills of teaching English as a second language, the Greenwich Sanctuary Project is looking for volunteers, and if you're interested in that, please do speak to me afterwards and I can send you the details. I'm just saying that as one example. Let's be clear, not everyone is going to be called by God to show that particular act of mercy and love. Maybe none of you, I don't know. But each of us have the responsibility of sharing the good news of God's love and mercy in word and in deed, whatever way God is calling us to say yes or to no. I thought it would be appropriate to end this morning by praying a prayer that Andrew Nunn, who is the Dean of Southwark Cathedral, our own cathedral, has written in response to the events of Friday. So let's pray. God, all holy, all loving, hear the cry of your people in Christchurch. Those caught up in the horrors, those witnessing the effects of so much hate, those who hear the news from far away, from north and south, from east and west, draw your peoples into a closer union that we may challenge hatred with love, the fear of the other with friendship, and all evil with your goodness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.